Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 16, the Payavrata worship, process of worship, text number 10. Api sarve kushalina, tava putra manasvini, lakshaye swastamatmanam, bhavatya lakshaneraham. Api, weather, sarve, all, kushalinaha, in full auspiciousness, tava, your, putra, sons, manasvini, O great-minded lady, lakshaye, I see, avastam, not in tranquility, atmanam, the mind, bhavatya, of you, lakshanai, by symptoms, aham, I. Translation, O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is it so? No purport, text 11. Sri Aditi Ruvacha, Bhadram Dvijagavam Brahman, Dharmasyasya Janasya cha trivargasya param kshetram griha medim griha ime. Aditi said, O my respectful Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, religion, economic development, and sense gratification, according to the regulations given in the Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kasyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. There is addressed here once as Brahman and another time as Grihamedin. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely, and the Brahmanas and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. We find a description here of a Vedic lifestyle. All is well. Oh. Yeah. All is well. With the Brahmanas, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. So, those are all things that are existing within a spiritual culture. So we can appreciate that in the higher regions of the universe, that same spiritual culture is also existing. Not just that Vedic culture exists on earth, but Vedic culture exists throughout the universe. And gradually, as we're coming down within the universe, our dharma is becoming more prominent. But in the higher regions of the universe, dharma is in the foreground. And so we see that Aditi is speaking about her respected Brahmana husband. That's a very respectful way of addressing a husband. I've heard different in our middle planetary system, where there's not the same amount of Vedic culture. all is well with the brahmanas, the cows. Namo brahmanya devaya go brahmanitaya cha jagatitaya krishnaya govindaya namo namaha. Protection of the brahmanas and the cows is the foundation of society. That is the foundation of a peaceful society. Therefore, we can immediately understand that we are living in a precarious situation currently, because there's no brahmanas, no protection of brahminical culture, and cows are not protected. Therefore, we have trouble. Yeah. Fundamental trouble. Therefore, inauspiciousness is coming upon society, and therefore suffering is destined to be. Then we're not even speaking about Kamsa-like men who are just exploiting the people. That's another thing. So here we're seeing that the brahmanas are well, the cows are well, religion and the welfare of other people, all these things are well. Dharma artha kama flourish in household life. So, in other words, a life of piety, a life of acting carefully according to religious principles. But, mind you, this kind of religious principles give temporary benefit, because they are not directly related to devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So something is still lacking. And we can appreciate now that our movement is most exalted, because this movement is representing the pure transcendental platform of devotional service. And somehow or other, although we are by no means qualified, we didn't grow up protecting brahmanas, cows, and engaging in activities of dharma and so on, Still, we are part of this transcendental movement. So, as I was explaining already yesterday, the need for filling in the lack of culture, and therefore we have Varna Ashram, right? It is for that reason. Varna Ashram in itself is not spiritual. Right? Varna ashram is a material arrangement, but Varna ashram is a material arrangement to act piously, and therefore to engage in activities which elevate mankind. Right now, the normal activities are degradation. I mean, on one corner we have the restaurant, on the other corner there's the bar. What shall we say? That's the way it is. In Johannesburg, we used to have a temple, and around the corner there was a bar, and the name of the bar was Kali Yuga. Yeah. I never went inside. But I looked, and it did look like the name was suitable. Yes. So what shall we say? That is the predominant culture of the day. That's how it is. Yeah. But it's everywhere like that. Whether it is in a raw form or in a polished form, right? Whether we see how in some countries the animals are slaughtered at the side of the road, or whether we find it nicely packed in the supermarkets with proper lighting on it and plastic oil over it. It's the same brutal activity. Not only slaughtering animals, but breeding animals for slaughter. Every year so many millions and millions of animals are killed. They say many kilometers of animals every year are killed, and they are bred for this purpose. They speak about the greenhouse gas, which is the big problem, and all of us know that as soon as the world would become vegetarian, that the greenhouse gas would go down 30 times. Because the animals, they produce so much of the all the animals that they eat produce so much of that greenhouse gas. Yes. So that's the one thing they don't speak about, that as the solution to the greenhouse gas problem. Yeah, so whatever it is, when brahmanas and cows are protected, when the four regulative principles become the foundation of society, immediately there can be peace in this world. And that is our desire. So, Aditi, since she was residing in the heavenly planets, all those things were going on. They are so thoroughly in place. There's no question that that was not going on. So in that regards, there was nothing lacking, nothing lacking. But she still was not satisfied. So there was something going on, and that will come out a little later in the chapter, and the next speaker can deal with that. We are just staying here at this point because Bhagavatam is, it's almost like each verse is like a picture, right? It's like a picture book, you know, like where each verse describes a particular point where we just stop. And Bhagavatam is taking us through situations like that in its descriptions, and because the Bhagavatam stops, we stop there and we meditate on this. What can one take from a verse like this, which describes a proper society? Yes, like I said, we can take that our own, that the society that we live in is not proper, and we can look at creating a more proper society ourselves in our own community, and that will help. That will help a lot. But of course, Srila Prabhupada also pointed out that this movement is not utopia. He said ISKCON is not utopia. So, in other words, ISKCON is not the perfect place. If we thought, I'm so disappointed, I came to ISKCON and I really had higher expectations, but now I've been around, now I know the truth, and I'm heartbroken. No. ISKCON is not meant to be that. ISKCON is not meant to be utopia. ISKCON is not that. ISKCON is the destination. ISKCON is the vehicle. ISKCON is the vehicle that transports us to the eternal destination, the spiritual world. But it's not ISKCON that's the destination. Sometimes people make that mistake. They think ISKCON is the destination, and why aren't we getting it right? Yeah, no wonder we're not getting it right. We didn't come from the heavenly planets. As simple as that. Right? Therefore, just old habits die hard. How can we make it right overnight? Yeah, I have been in the Grihastha ashram, and you know, they told me I was supposed to call my former wife Devi. I couldn't do it. I just felt this is too much. Davy, I guess too unnatural, right? I said I couldn't do it. Some people can surrender to these things, but I could not. What to do? A lack of culture. So we bring with us our lack of spiritual culture. Now what to do? Yes, so it's not utopia. And that's fine, because ISKCON is the train. You're boarding the train, right? And this society, it's nice when there's a nice train, you know, like comfortable. But you don't move in, at least not only in New York. Some of the bums, they try that. They move in the winter. They live in the train. They just stay on the train. But we're meant to use it to attain our destination. So yes, it may not be perfect, but the perfect process is there. On the surface, ISKCON is not perfect. On the surface, it are ups and downs, right? This leadership is good, that leadership is not good, you know, like when we get into the politics of ISKCON, then we can, you know, you can read the internet and you can find all kinds of things if you want to. And then you can say, oh, now my faith is broken. No, because the essence is there. The chanting of Hare Krishna is there. Srimad Bhagavatam is there. The process for attaining perfection is there. This is our business. Our business is sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's it. And we gotta do it somewhere. And it's better here than in the street. Because it gets a bit snowy out there sometimes. So, alright. Srila Prabhupada created a network of temples around the world. But that was not his objective. His goal was not to create a network of temples. That was secondary. His goal was to make people chant Hare Krishna. Right? That was it about. And then the temples, yes. So that we would be in an environment which was encouraging us to chant Hare Krishna. Right? So that we would not be so that we could have our own little subculture, so that we could have our own spiritual culture, rather than having to be in the mundane culture of the world, and then chanting Hare Krishna. And that's a little difficult. One boy who lived 50 kilometers away from the nearest temple would go Saturday night, he would go to the bar, and I found out about it. So I said, why are you going to the bar? He said, what am I supposed to do? I need some association. I said, you know, in the bar. He said, well, what can I do? I just drink orange juice. But, you know, I'm alone. And I need to talk to some people. So the bar is where they are. So I go there because there's no temple. Yeah, but this is not so good, right? Because one day someone's gonna say, hey, let's put something in that orange juice. And then, you know how it is. Then it goes on and on from there. Jayato visya pum samsangate jupajayate. We gradually go down in the modes of material nature when we get involved in material activities. So community is required, community that is dedicated to spiritual values, and that is what we want. That is what we need to create somehow or other. Therefore it's hard to be a devotee all by ourselves in an apartment somewhere and another one living 20 kilometers away in another other apartment. Need community. And we see that this time is taxing people because personal meetings are just a little more limited than normal, and people are in need of association. So we got the whole new online culture, which is supposed to compensate, and it does to a degree. Right? It does to a degree. But yeah, like at one point, I couldn't Zoom anymore. You know, I still Zoom a little, but in the beginning when Zoom was invented, I was Zooming all day long until I felt I was a bee. Right? And then I guess I can't Zoom no more. Zoom out. Ah, oh, you know. Sterile, artificial, real association cannot be replaced by such things. Yes, but then again, transcendental sound can also pass through electronic means. And it was Srila Prabhupada who used a recording of the Mahamantra, which was like unorthodox. It's like Srila Prabhupada used to give the Gayatri Mantra by tape, right? Because devotees were living far away from where Prabhupada was. So then they'd get the Gayatri Mantra through a tape. And some people in India criticized, said, you are not initiated because it says that the spiritual master has to speak in the ear. And tape is not bona fide. But Prabhupada had that vision. Oh, it is. It is the recording of the voice. It is fine. The transcendental potency is there. So, okay. We'll use whatever we can to somehow or other fix our mind on Krishna. Yena tena prakarena manan Krishna nivesayet. So, somehow or other, we fix the mind on Krishna. But obviously, when we go to Vrindavan, immediately it's like much easier. Right? Vrindavan, everywhere, Krishna, everywhere, temples, everywhere, people chanting, right? At night. You can't sleep because somebody is chanting. That's Vrindavan. What to do? So, you know, someone is opening a new house and one brahmana is reciting the whole Bhagavad Gita on a loudspeaker. Says a really loudspeaker the whole night. You know, Dharma Kshetra, Guru Kshetra, Samaritya, well, very fast. Really fast and intense voice the whole night. Oh, it's the Bhagavad Gita before the rest. But the loudspeaker. The Kumbh Mela, right? We've seen beautiful pictures of the Kumbh Mela, but have you heard the soundtrack of the Kumbh Mela? It's like, whoa! It's intense, it's so loud. Big horns all like screaming every mantra, and everyone's trying to be louder than his neighbor. So whenever you go to the Kumbh Mela, bring earplugs. This is number one. First thing you pack, earplugs. Or those things over here. It's very loud. So, even the spiritual culture is now afflicted by the influence of Kali. Even the spiritual culture is not existing in its pure form, yes, as not in the way as it is existing here in the world of Aditi. But, you know, we don't worry about that, right? Because ultimately, whatever is the situation, one has to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. In the Bhagavatam, there's a description in the 11th canto of a brahmana who previous in his former ashram used to be a businessman who was a bit of a miser. And he was always sitting on his money and he would never share anything. And as a result, his family was not very very happy with him. But anyway, he was also spiritually inclined. So he took sannyas at one point. But then when he was a sannyasi, he got so many reactions. And many people were treating him really bad. And it is described that he would be sitting, chanting Hare Krishna, and people would spit on him. People would laugh at him. And one man even passed urine on him, which is intense, I would say. I think that's but it said, then even whether one is spat upon, whether one is blasphemed, or even when one is, when urine is passed upon us, still one should keep oneself safe on the spiritual platform. So that is the point. We cannot expect that, and we can never use the fact that things are not utopia, that things are not perfect. We cannot use that as an excuse. We cannot say, the temple president's not nice to me, and therefore I'm in Maya. No. Or leave the movement and saying, I was mistreated. You know? No, I really wanted Krishna consciousness, but they treated me so bad. You probably never read the 11th canto, isn't it? I know 12 cantos is a lot to read. And it's like you blooped before you read the 11th canto. Too bad. Because if you would have read about this brahmana, you would have known. Did anyone pass urine upon you? I don't. Generally, that's not going on in our temples. I mean, I hope. I have not heard that yet, that anybody did that to anybody. It's like, you know, but you never know, right? I have seen many things, you know. I have seen the little skinny Mataji strangle the big fat one. I never imagined that it was possible, but it was. And the boys, you know, have also sometimes acted in ways that they should not. And, I have seen all kinds of things. I was in the restaurant manager, and they sent me a Vietnam veteran. And he's talking to me, and he says that he used to have a razor, and he used to zip people open with the razor. Okay. And he said, yes, he did it once before he got into the army as well. And I go, okay. I see. The next day he comes to the restaurant and he says, does it happen to you? Something that is stronger than you and that just forces you to do things. I say, never. 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 Yeah, this guy is like, that's like getting really. The next day, he comes, the restaurant's really busy. And just in the middle of something, and he gets very passionate. He says, a knife! Give me a knife! I need a knife! I said, we have no knives in this restaurant. I couldn't handle it. Oh, it was too much. You know, I couldn't handle it. obeisances and so on, but this was just too much for my nerve system. What to do? People are coming from the age of Kali, and somehow or other we are here. But that should not affect the opportunity is there. We have the opportunity to take advantage. There is transcendental knowledge. We can take it. So everyone has to have the good sense that they themselves grab the rope and to be pulled out of the ocean of nescience. The rope is there. Take it. And it's like a whole bunch of ropes are being thrown out and people are pulled out. And as we're being pulled out of the ocean of nescience, we go, I don't like those other people that are pulled out of the ocean of nescience. And so, no. We just take it. Take it and somehow or other survive. Somehow or other. Get out of this material world. So we should have that focus. And then we can take advantage of this movement. And because the rope is the perfect process of sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, of hearing, chanting, and remembering. Okay, I'll stop. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I have one question about the word process.
About the word?
The word process, because many times we hear this word, and in this verse also it was said worshipping process, and it seems like a key word. But does it mean like the process is bhakti yoga, or process is according to the text, or what?
Okay. Yes. So process means it's a series of activities that are placed in a certain order to bring about a result. And so when we speak about the process, yes, we have to read it according to the text, right? And the text is clearly, we're discussing here the Payavrata process of worship. The Payavrata process is basically a vow of austerity to please Vishnu. So Payavrata is, Payo means milk, actually. So the milk vow, if I translate it literally, the Payavrata, the milk vow process of worship. Yeah. So some sort of milk fast, you can understand, and then you can attain, if you follow that properly, the mercy of Vishnu. So it's a Vedic ritual which was meant for purification. It's not the same as chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is much more powerful, much more direct. See, to perform austerities to attract the mercy of the Lord is one thing. To give up sense enjoyment and to perform and to fast is a good thing. But we cannot fast ourselves back to Godhead. I've been fasting for 99 days. How come you're so so big? Maybe some hidden prasadam somewhere. fasting in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was a story how there was a Brahmana. And this Brahmana had taken only milk for a whole year. Only. So, it's quite something, huh? Only milk. An adult person, only milk. Not easy. Yeah, of course, we could have made jokes about it. Are you taking it from a bottle? No, but only milk. This Brahmana, he wanted to see the Kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas was approached. He said, well, this is a very special Brahmana. Not anybody can just do only milk. He said, okay, come in. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was doing the Kirtan, he felt he couldn't get into it. He said, there is some disturbing element. He said, there is an intruder here. And they found that Brahmana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just chastised, do you think that you can get my mercy just by taking only milk? Right? By only milk. And the Brahmana was thrown out of the house. But as he was thrown out of the house, he was outside of the house completely ecstatic because he said, I saw the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I saw. And then because he was so ecstatic about that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, let him in. And then he was allowed in because he had developed attachment to the Supreme Lord. But just austerity alone is not good enough, you see. It's secondary. Yes. Tapas and vairagya, or austerity and renunciation, are not part of the 64 limbs of bhakti. In the Nectar of Devotion, tapas and vairagya are described as preliminary activities. But you don't get love of God from tapas and vairagya, or from austerity and renunciation. So, happy fasting. Anybody else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a very inspiring class. You are always giving very nice insight in Shastra and also amazing examples from your experience and others. So I would like to ask you regarding spiritual culture, since we know that we are mixed up here in Kali Yuga and we are also conditioned with our local cultures from the place we are coming from. But we actually came here in this vehicle, we are driving, and we are trying to develop our spiritual culture. So what could be your advice or instruction or tools, how we can increase, protect, and nourish our spiritual culture in a proper way? So as we can see sometimes in our community, that could be also misused. And sometimes someone can also use an like a excuse some as a spiritual culture something to exploit somebody or whatever. So how can we actually properly be nourished our spiritual culture? Thank you.
Manasamita. Do you realize that when you address your superior, that you always have to face him? That your hands have to be folded. You can glue them together. And you can never turn your back to him. Do you realize? No? Yes. Yes, we have seen, you know, we have seen that people are trying to push others into the Vedic role. Husbands push their wives in the Vedic role. Or in my marriage in a former ashram, my former wife was very good in quoting slokas during a fight. She never quoted slokas, right? But then we had a fight, one sloka after another, you know. I got like, wow, I didn't know you knew so many slokas. that's impressive. Yeah, so what to do? It's difficult. It's difficult to get this culture right. And it can be abused, absolutely. One thing, you know, my former wife would say to me, she had a strong nature. She would sometimes fight with other people. And then she came to me, and she wanted me to back her up. Huh? You know, and I go like, well, you know, it's your fight, not mine. And then she goes like, no, you have to protect me. Yeah, it's your duty, you know. And I go, yeah, I have to protect you from yourself. Anyway, and then we had also some fights. What to do? It's true. Vedic culture can be misused. Yes, absolutely, to oppress somebody else. And Srila Rupa Goswami says, "Vaidiki lokiki vapuyat kriya kri ite mune hari sevana kulaiva." He says that in bhakti, it is not about Vedic culture. He says, either Vedic or just whatever is practical, whatever is hari seva anukul, whatever is favorable for the service of the Lord. So in some ways, we are not necessarily following Vedic culture. Like in here in Slovenia, the bathroom is in the house. That means the whole house has become a bathroom. You understand? There is bathroom in the house. That means whole house is bathroom. Whole house contaminated. You cannot go in there anymore. So that's. But it's. It gets a bit cold when the bathroom is outside. Yeah? So I'm happy it's inside. I think it's okay. So, in other words, practical. We have to be practical. We cannot just artificially impose Vedic culture. Yes. And that's difficult. Men that demand complete obedience from their wife is another one. It's not exactly like that in this age of Kali. Right? It's not only that the women are not just submissive in this age of Kali, it's just the men are not qualified to always be the boss. Sometimes they're wrong. And they need their good wife to tell them, right, from no, instead of yes, Prabhu. So, a little bit of that is allowed, right? But somehow or other, okay, Vedic culture is also there. So how are we going to implement elements of Vedic culture? That's an experiment. It's the big experiment. We're all trying. Right? I'm wearing this dress, but when I go up the stairs, I still trip many times over this. And in some ways, pants are much more practical. What shall I say? Yeah. You know. Yeah. So you can, we can find some solution. But Vedic culture is nourishing. So what we can implement may be good. But you cannot make it the law. Everyone has to be Vedic. That will be difficult. Yeah, so here we have the absolute truth, but socially we have an experiment. You see? socially, it's like we're trying to figure it out. How much Vedic culture, how much practical modern culture? You decide.
Thank you, Maharaj.
We have to keep ourselves safe.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very, very enlightening class. I'm really appreciative of all the various points you made. I have a couple of questions, though.
Couple also. squeeze the orange, you know. No, only one. Because there was some hands there also, and it's 9:00.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea of the time. You took us to the spiritual world where time doesn't exist. Okay, let me keep it just one and short. Why does Aditi address her husband as Grihamedhin when Grihamedhi is a term for people who are not following Grihastashram? Grihamedhi is, you know, materialistic married household life. So why does she address her husband like that when he's actually Kashyap Muni?
Well, I think that in ISKCON, our interpretation of the word Grihamedhi has a bit of a negative connotation. You know, Grihasta Grihamedhi. Yeah, it's like. But I think that in Vedic culture, it's clear that in the way Aditi was using her language, the word Grihamedhi didn't have such a negative connotation. So here we're seeing that she has a different way of using the word because she's part of a Vedic culture, which where pious Grihastha life is recommended. We are part of a spiritual culture where just pious Grihastha life is not good enough. Mm-hmm. We want transcendental. Therefore, in our movement, Grihamedhi looks a little bit negative. Mm-hmm. But if you really look at it, he was pious. He was a pious, dedicated householder. And she used that word without trying to put him down. Mm-hmm. Grihastha is a word used particularly for the spiritual culture of pure devotional service.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you also. Okay, let's take it to that side because his hand was first. And the one whose hand is first usually gets the microphone first unless there's somebody very senior.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. I like the point you had about ISKCON being not being a utopia.
Yeah.
Sometimes I talk with people from outside, or there are like newcomers. They have some negative experiences because sometimes devotees they just pushed books into them and ask them, "Have you read already?" and and they're not. They forget them if they don't see them for a long time, or various things like, or they are like too busy, or not very personal with them, and things like that. So people notice, and they
right. They don't answer your WhatsApp message. Yeah, now that's the most serious thing you can do these days. If you don't answer someone's message, right? That's like personal insult. And here I am all day long. I'm giving class, I'm in great fear when I'll go to my room how many messages will have appeared on my phone. Help. Can I speak to you? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's ISKCON's not utopia, Srila Prabhupada said, and I explained it. ISKCON is not the destination. ISKCON is a vehicle that takes us to our destination. And we can say, well, I don't like this train. Okay. But still, it takes us there, right? And if it's the only train that's going, yeah, well, you're going to take it, you know? Anybody else?
There are also some questions from the internet.
The internet.
Yeah. Okay, it's just one.
Okay.
It says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, yes. Question. Since one of the 9 processes of devotional service is becoming friends with Krishna, when do we do that? Do we also become friends with devotees, or maybe does it work the other way around?
Sakyam means to be friendly disposed towards Krishna. So to always be in a mood, anakulyena, to be favorably disposed towards Krishna, to see Krishna as our best friend. That's what it's about. And we are just acting completely in a friendly way towards Krishna. And of course, that reflects on all other relationships also. Because Krishna, he is Suridam Sarvadeinam. He has deep heartfelt feelings of friendships for all living beings. So if you're a devotee of Krishna, you automatically have to start loving all the living beings also. That's a problem. I mean, it was only about loving Krishna, I would say it's okay. But now I have to start loving everybody else as well. I don't know about this. It's a problem. Especially this Christian thing of loving your neighbor. You know? I don't mind loving somebody on the other side of the planet. But my neighbor... my neighbor is a pain. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? It's more difficult to love your neighbor than to love somebody far away. Yeah. Yeah, Suridam Sarvadeenam, to be the friend and well-wisher of all living beings. So, dear Internet, I wish you a happy day and may you make many friends today. Thank you very much. I have many Facebook friends myself. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.